From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week in New York, talking to people about the financial crisis. Manhattan is packed with hugely expensive buildings that rise dozens of stories above street level. And a lot of the people who work in them, or live in them, depend on the financial sector, directly or indirectly. So what's the impact of the credit freeze on that peculiarly New York business, very high rise, very high stakes commercial real estate? We asked someone who covers the business to show us some projects that aren't flying so high these days, and she took us for a walk.
Metro, New Metro.
Well, here we are at the corner of 8th Avenue and 41st Street on Manhattan's West Side. We're right across the street from the Port Authority bus terminal. We're in the shadow of the new New York Times building, and I'm with Dana Rubenstein, who covers commercial real estate for the New York Observer. Right across the street from us is a work-in-progress building.
Correct. So this is called 11 Times Square. It's a $1.2 billion tower that's rising to, well, it's almost already risen to 40-something floors, and it has no tenants. It's totally empty.
Not that that news in any way slows work on the project. I mean, they're working on this thing.
Right, so they're working on it right now.
East the hair, George, east the hair. All right, that's good, that's good.
Can you tell us what your name is?
I'm Derek Dethlison, and I'm a layout engineer.
We hear they've got no tenants lined up for this building.
I don't know.
And a unique story that we're looking at here at 11 Times Square?
Yeah, I mean, this is the largest on-spec building in New York City, and arguably it may well be one of the biggest disasters.
Where do we go next?
Next, we're going to the old New York Times building on 43rd Street.
Not the really old New York Times building on Times Square where the ball comes down on New Year's Eve. The next stop on our tour of Midtown Manhattan real estate is the building that the paper was housed in until late last year. It's on 43rd Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue, and it's empty.
In all fairness, that space is empty because they are the building's undergoing a $175 million internal renovation. However, it doesn't look to be tenanted anytime soon.
It's about a 12-story building. And mm-hmm. It's just off Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's lining up around the corner to get a suite of offices here?
No, as far as I know, no one has signed a lease, much like no one has signed a lease at 11 Times Square. You know, part of that is that a lot of extra space is coming on the market with the collapse of a lot of these financial firms. So when this building was bought, the idea was that there's such a scarcity of office space in New York City that people would be lining up around the corner to sign leases for this space. But it looks like there's a lot more competition in the market right now and much less demand for new and very expensive office space.
Well, Dana, so much for the Times Square area. Where do we go to next?
Next, we're going to the GM building, which is considered the most valuable building in New York City. It's at the southeast corner of Central Park.
If real estate is about location, 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 then we have arrived. The General Motors building rises 50 stories into the sky, looming down on what used to be the Plaza Hotel, it's now condos, and Bergdorf Goodman, the department store, and Central Park.
It's considered the most expensive, the best office tower in New York City. It is the trophy of the trophy towers.
It's the GM building. Although the logos all over it are for Apple and CBS, I didn't see any GM all over it.
Right, right. GM building is merely a name at this point. So the building in, I believe it was early 04, was bought by a guy named Harry Macklow for, I believe it was $1.4 billion, which was at the time the largest price ever paid for any building anywhere. But in the beginning of 07, he put the building up as collateral to purchase a group of seven other trophy towers in New York City. That deal soon got him to a lot of trouble with his creditors, and he ended up having to put the GM building on the block, in addition to turning over those seven trophy towers to his creditors. So the building proceeded to get sold after 6 months or so on the market, which was a very long time for a building like this to be on the market. And it ended up selling for under its market price. It was thought that it would get more than $3 billion. It ended up getting $2.8 billion.
Still a lot more than Mr. Macklow had paid for it.
Sure, but at the time, property values were increasing so rapidly, and people just had these extraordinary expectations for what this building could fetch, and those expectations were dashed.
But Dana, that's saying, oi, I only made 125% gain on my building in a few years.
Well, it's not only that the building sold under market. It's that Macla ended up having to sell the building under duress.
You get the idea? You can make a billion in 3 years on a piece of New York real estate and be a symbol of folly. Stephen Siegel, no relation, knows this business inside out. He is chairman of global brokerage for C.B. Richard Ellis. They don't own properties, but if you want to rent a mile of Manhattan office space, talk to him. How's business?
Business is interesting. It's a time like I've never seen, and I've been at it for 40 years, and probably a time I couldn't have imagined in terms of what's happened to the investment banking world and the number of banks and the liquidity crisis. Candidly, it hasn't ground business to a halt. We still have activity. This is a very diverse city, a very resilient city, and there's still activity. If you look around, you can hear it and see it and feel it.
Well, we are standing inside Bryant Park. It's behind the big New York Public Library. And looking up around us, well, some of your properties are among these huge buildings rising up.
Yes, we're looking right across the street at the redeveloped Verizon headquarters building that was purchased by Equity Office, subsequently sold to Blackstone. And it was completely torn down to the steel and redeveloped. And basically, it's a new building.
It got green somewhere along the line.
It got green. And
literally, it's a green building.
It's green and green.
Is it fully leased? And are you confident that all of those tenants are going to weather the storm and still be tenants after another few months?
No, I'm certain that several are not going to move in. I've already made that announcement and placed space on the market that hasn't been built out yet because they wanted to reserve the capital expenditures that they were faced with by moving to new space.
Stephen Siegel says the credit freeze does two things to the Manhattan office space market. It puts some tenants out of business, but it also means that new projects will be slower to get off the ground, so both supply and demand are reduced. He takes comfort from knowing that there is a longer cycle than the ups and downs of business. He speaks of a quality of life cycle.
When things are good, when people want to live in a city, they want to work in a city, et cetera, et cetera, that's something that goes on for 20, 25 years and would take several disasters to bring that down. And we're still in a good quality of life situation.
In the much shorter term, there's an eerie uncertainty in New York these days. Fortunes have been lost on paper. Storied investment houses have closed. But no one knows how hard the brunt of all this will ultimately be. And everyone wonders. In New York, this is Robert Siegel.